Good morning again, church family, and I hope that each of you have had a joyous Thanksgiving this past week and a time with family and with friends and with good food. I know sometimes that the holidays aren't always as fun sometimes as we may make them out to be, and sometimes they can be stressful, but many of you, in anticipation of Thanksgiving, and maybe perhaps now for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, you're making preparations. You have to get ready for something, don't you, sometimes? If it's a big event, if it's a family gathering or a get-together, you have to get ready. And so today I want us to look at a scripture that many of us have a not so accurate understanding of, and that is the Lord's return. If you have a Bible today, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. And the title for my message today is Be Ready for the King. Many of you had to get ready for Thanksgiving. You had to maybe get the house cleaned up, or maybe you had to get the yard cleaned up or the house in order. You had to make arrangements to tell people which time to come over. Maybe you decorated. And so Thanksgiving perhaps was a joyous time for you, but you had to get ready. But there's something all of us need to get ready for, something else, and that's the Lord's return. And what happens is today is that oftentimes we don't hear much about the Lord's return, but we hear a word that is very common today, and it's called the rapture. The rapture is really, you're not going to find rapture in the Bible. Rapture is, we understand in the book of Revelations that Christ returns to return to gather up his church. And so many people use the term rapture, but the word rapture is not in the Bible. What is in the Bible is the Lord's return, his second coming. So today here I want us to look at three reminders on the Lord's return for each of us and for the importance of that, to be ready for the King. Amen? Jesus wanted the disciples to understand that being ready for his return was more important than knowing the time of his return. That for us as believers, we joyously anticipate Christ's return should be found not only hopeful, but also faithful in our daily lives in knowing Christ's return. The lives of believers today are filled with the hope of Christ's return, so our hope should also be found faithful in that promise. So I want us to look at three reminders today to get ready. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Will you join him in prayer? Father, we have the hope and the promise of the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, each of us comes in here with different experiences on our hearts today. Those of us with loved ones, Father, who have been ill. Those are experiencing strained relationships. Those that are experiencing trouble in their family or maybe in their job. And so, Father, as we go about our daily week, we get distracted sometimes. But, Father, we come in here in this time this morning to pour our hearts unto you and to hear you speak. Lord, I pray this morning that you would anoint my lips for your message, Father, and that this message will be found faithful unto you and glorifying only unto you, Lord. But Father, we understand as we take this time now this morning, prepare our hearts and hear our prayers as we hear you, Father, speak. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Each of us needs to be ready. Many of us have heard of movies and stories about the rapture. In fact, there was a movie made a couple years ago with Nicolas Cage called Left Behind. A very popular movie about what Hollywood called the rapture. And where they're on a plane and people are going about their daily lives and people are just disappearing. But the problem with that is that Hollywood is not to instruct us upon our faith or our theology. But in our lives, we can be distracted and people will watch these things and what turns out to be fiction, people think is truth when it is purely fiction and not truth. So in the text here, listen to the words of our Lord and Savior. He says, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows." And the first thing at our outline today I want us to look at is, this is very important for each of us to remember. No one knows the time. No one knows the time of our Lord's return. And what has happened over the years is that many people have thought that they could predict the time. And we have seen it in the past. And as a matter of fact, we've seen it also with people who thought they could predict it, not just Hollywood, but apparently there have been several people throughout the church age who have claimed to know the end of time. William Miller and his followers were known as the Millerites in the mid to 19th century, believed that Christ would return on March 21, 1843. And they sold everything and gave up everything and waited upon his return that day. And when that didn't happen, he recalculated the date to 1844. And when that time passed, his followers changed the date to sometime in 1873 to 1874. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, besides being wrong, the Lord says, no one knows. Three people. No one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son of Man. But only the Father knows. And what happens here in our society today is that people come on with sensational stories about these stories about the Lord's return. And what happens is what happened actually here in the 19th century, because there were some followers from the Millerites, and one of these men's name, these followers, was Charles Russell. Charles Russell came from the background of following the Millerites, but Charles Russell started his own church called the Jehovah's Witnesses. You see, what happens is that Charles Russell also predicted the end of times in 1915. And of course, that did not happen. So what's wrong with somebody just getting the date wrong? They made a mistake. Well, first of all, number one is Jesus himself said that no one knows. But what happens is here, what happened with this Pastor Russell is that he started a completely false theology, a completely different religion that was in actuality a cult. And so what happens is that we think it's no harm when someone goes to follow someone. What actually is, what's happening is that they're not following Jesus Christ. They're following someone else. And they're following a false prophet. And each of us today can understand that it's easy in our lives to get distracted. In fact, Christ even said also to the disciples, Christ is walking with these disciples. They have left the comforts of Jerusalem. And they're going to the Mount of Olives. And as they're doing this, before they leave, the disciples said, "Rabbi, look at these glorious stones. Look at these buildings." You see, the temple was a magnificent feat. It was an architecture. The stones overlaid with gold were glowing. They were bright. They were just to the point where sometimes you would come up in the afternoon sun and they were so bright you'd be blinded. And people stood in awe, and the disciples stood in awe. And they said, "Rabbi, look at these wonderful stones." And Jesus also said to the disciples earlier in this same passage in Matthew 24, verse 4, he said, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray, and you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." We become distracted in our lives and by sometimes people that are very charismatic and can predict the calculations to the end of time. But Jesus says, no one knows the time. No one, no man, nor the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man. And so what we understand is that in our lives and that we become fractured and our attention gets so split apart and we get so focused on other things that we get caught up in following somebody else. And before we know it, we're following a false teacher or a false Christ, and we're not following Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And he warned the disciples and he warns us today. Remember, no one knows the Lord's return. And when Christ, before his ascension to the disciples, he spoke to them in Acts 1:7, and he said, when Jesus was leaving the disciples during his ascension, he said, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." And that's what happens when people begin to follow someone else with looking for the end of times and try to calculate him. They're following someone else's authority rather than God's authority. And it opens up a whole new can of worms to the point now where someone is practicing a false theology in a cult, in a false church. But this continued also in the 20th century. It didn't stop with Charles Russell. Edgar Wisenant, a former NASA engineer and Bible student, predicted the end of times would occur in 1988, sometime between September 11 and September 13th. He published two books also, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. I could give him one reason why the rapture did not occur in 1988, because no one knows the time. And he published also another book, On Borrowed Time. Eventually, 300,000 copies of 88 Reasons were mailed free of charge to ministers across America, and 4.5 million copies were sold in bookstores and elsewhere. But of course, that didn't happen either. Another such person most recently was Harold Camping, the former president of American Family Radio. Bible teacher predicted through mathematical calculations that Christ would rapture his church on May 21, 2011. And the following 5 months would include fire, brimstone, and plagues until the end of the earth would conclude on October 21, 2011. What happened? Well, after May 21st, 2011 passed, Harold Camping said that instead it was not Christ's return, but he changed his opinion that it was a spiritual judgment. It was not Christ's return. And so what happened later on October 21, 2011, Christ did not come to return his church at that point either. And so he believed also that it was going to happen later, but it didn't. And later in 2012, Harold Camping admitted that no prediction of a date was possible. And in fact, to predict a date was sinful. And in his words, he said, emphasizing the words in Matthew 24:36. Harold Camping made a prediction, but there was also another telltale sign of Harold Camping. You see, on that Saturday of May 21, 2011, his organization, American Family Radio, had published 1,200 billboards to be in the United States and 2,000 in other countries. His organization had spent upwards of millions of dollars in total confidence of the Lord's return in May of that year of 2011. But there's one thing, another provision that he made. He planned on the Lord's return on that Saturday. He also made a provision for his offices to be open the following Monday morning. So obviously he didn't take much faith even in his predictions. And what was happening was is that people were following a false teacher instead of following Jesus Christ. And sometimes it becomes sensational. But Christ comes to return to his church. And it says in the text also in verse 37, the second thing I want us to look at today. What happens when we try to know, we're distracted from the main thing. The main thing is the Lord's return. The second thing on our outline I want us to look at today is to keep watch. Don't be distracted. And it says here in the text in verse 37, as were in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They were excited to serve themselves. They were about their own sensualities, their own desires, their own needs, their own cares. And they got caught up in the cares of life. So, for as in the days of Noah, they were, as we experience today, watching football games, Black Friday shopping, fishing, maybe playing a little golf, hobbies. I'm not saying that those things are bad per se, but what happens is that our attention becomes fractured and distracted where we do not keep the main thing the main thing. Why is Christ telling the disciples at this point? They're leaving Jerusalem. They're coming in a place now and Christ is preparing them. They have no idea what is going to happen before them. Christ is going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified. The disciples are going to be persecuted. And he wants to give them a hope. And he wants to give each of us a hope in our own lives as we're experiencing these trials and these difficulties and these sufferings. We need to know one thing, that Christ is coming back. He's coming back for his church. And for all of us also, too, we need to understand that when Christ came and he himself said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. He came to bring us reconciliation, to forgive us of our sins, and to give us hope of eternal life. But when Christ comes and he returns, he's not coming to offer that. He's coming to reclaim his church and to bring judgment. And so when people think about the word rapture, we think about a terrible thing. When actually we as the church, we as believers in Christ should be joyous. We should be happy. We should say, come quickly, Lord. To the point in our own lives, this is not our home. This is not our life. This is not the home that God has intended for us. This is temporary. He wants us to understand which is the eternal life with him and Christ for all of us. Remember, keep watch. Don't be distracted. And we become much sometimes are those people and the unbelievers become what happened to those in the days of Noah. They were, the text says, unaware. They had a place and a time in their life where they were giving up into marriage. They were drinking and eating when they should have been praying and repenting. They should have been seeking God. But instead, it was all about them. And that's what happens too, and that's what the enemy wants in each of our lives. He wants us to get distracted. He wants you to get caught up in the days and the things in life that take your attention away from him and pouring out your heart to him. We're to keep watch. For as in those days people were living their lives in the days of Noah, they were living for themselves. And as we look at the lives of people today, for in these days, people get caught up in all these things in our lives. You know, you see it all the time on television, Black Friday sales. They're not on Black Friday anymore. It's Thursday. They ought to call it Black and Blue, you know, because it's Black Friday. By the time you get done shopping, you know, you feel like you're beat up, you're black and blue. And so they want all of us to understand, to get swept up into this tide of materialism. They want us to get swept up into this place where each of us forget about the main thing. That our hope is not in Black Friday. Our hope is not in the championship that the team didn't make. Our hope is not in the situations of life that want each of us to put our faith in instead of our faith in Christ. And so each of us need to remember to keep watch. And then the text says, for as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. Well, what was the problem? No, it was about 500 years when God told him to build the ark. And when it was time, when the floods came, he was 600 years old. So he was building the ark for about 100 years. And people saw Noah building the ark. They saw his testimony. But they were busy doing everything else. They had time. Well, at that point, when the floods came and the door shut, what happened to all those people? Time ran out. And time will run out for everyone today who has not made a faith in Christ, who has not made a decision to turn their lives to Christ and to seek Him. That's what happened in the days of Noah. And that's what happens in the days today. People become distracted. We need to keep watch, each of us, in our lives, in seeking God first in our lives. And the text says also that they were unaware till the flood came and swept them away. So will be coming the Son of Man. Every man has his time, but no man knows his time. No man knows his time. And that's what happens in our lives. For those people that do not desire to worship God, God gave them over. And what happened in the time of Noah and those that were consumed with the sensualities of themselves. Each of us need to understand that we need to keep watch. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. I want us to look at a truth here also. Apostle Paul tells the church in Thessalonica was a worrisome church at times. Many of them believed that Christ had returned and they missed the boat. Some of them were convinced that he was coming at any moment, which was good, but they put all their focus on sitting and waiting instead of being about the business that he has given us to do here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Let us keep awake and be sober. You see, the purpose of you here is staying awake and staying watchful is for a purpose also. We think about it as just us. Do you know that many of you are a witness? Many of you oftentimes witness to others. And so part of your witness and your watch and your faithfulness is to others. If you're sitting there wringing your hands and worrying about the rapture, where's your faith? More importantly, what kind of demonstration of the faith is that to others? To unbelievers? It's not. But what Christ wants for each of us is to understand, to come to Him, and to come to Him often, but to be used by Him for His good purpose, for His church, to be witness. We need to remember to keep watch. And in the text also here in verse 40, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. I want to tell you something this morning that's probably going to rock your theology. When Christ comes to return the church, He's not coming to take those righteous people. He's coming to take judgment on the unrighteous, the unbelievers. And in that and that's what happened in that movie, Left Behind. They thought all the good people were gone. And they thought when it was all said and done that they had a second chance and they could be good again. Well, that's not going to happen. When Christ comes to return, he's coming to claim his church, but he's also coming to bring judgment. But we, each of us, have the opportunity. And so when we read here in the text that two men will be in the field, one will be taken, Christ also said, just in the days of Noah, they were swept away. Just like two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. One will be swept away for judgment and one will be left. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken. One will be swept away in judgment and one will be left. And so Christ comes to return to claim his church, but he also comes to bring judgment. Why is that important? It's important because our time here is just a breath. It is limited. And in the book of James, the Bible speaks about our life is a vapor. It is so short. You know, we haven't experienced cold weather yet, but imagine if you will, when perhaps it will get cooler here in North Florida and you get up in the morning and you breathe and you can see your breath. It gets cold enough here in North Florida, we can see some breath. And what happens? It is just that fast. As fast as it comes is as fast as it goes. And our life here is but a vapor. Every man knows that he's been given a time, but he does not know his time here. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for Christ's return? Because that's his desire for each of us, to be anticipating. You know, when each of us at times, maybe when you were kids in school and you had a teacher and a teacher gave you a homework assignment that you had to do maybe for the next 10, 15 minutes. Some of you teachers or some of you can remember in school, and the teacher had to leave the classroom, right? Now, when that teacher left, what would happen in the classroom? Well, maybe some kids did their homework. Maybe some didn't. Maybe some acted up. But what happens when the teacher comes back to the classroom? What happens when Christ returns to his church? That's how he wants to find his church, faithful. And so each of us here, you need to understand, for as in those days of Noah, people were giving up, eating and drinking and living for themselves, and they were not living for Christ instead of praying and repenting and seeking him. We need to remember the third thing I want us to look at today is we need to be ready. This past week, there was a helicopter squadron that came back from deployment at NAS Jax. And some of you may have seen the pictures on the news reports there. The family that got to wait in anticipation. They couldn't wait for their husbands and their fathers to come home from deployment. They had been gone for months and they were excited. And when their dads and their husbands came home, boy, you see the kids running up to them and grabbing them and hugging them and kissing them. They couldn't wait to see them. Because they have been living for months and months and months upon anticipation. And sometimes some of those families don't know exactly if their father is or their husband might be coming back. But they're hopeful. In fact, the military has certain plans that they encourage family members. They encourage family that are waiting on military that are coming on deployment to come back. That the family should agree on a plan of communication. Sounds like a good idea. Make a plan for times when you're alone. Look into support groups. Tell a child that they're not abandoned. Limit television coverage. Each of us have an opportunity to make a plan of communication, in prayer, and reading God's word. Each of us has in ourselves, if you will, a church family, a fellowship for each of us until the Lord's return. As each of us are going through trials in our lives and the difficulties of our lives and the pains and the sufferings in this temporary lives, We also have the hope, but we have also the encouragement of the church. We too have a support, a fellowship in the church. We too can tell ourselves, just like a child, that we have not been abandoned. Why? Because Christ is coming back. He's coming back. That's a hope. That's a promise for each of us. Are you ready? Remember to be ready. The disciples were leaving Jerusalem and the temple, and their lives were preparing to get scary. And Christ wanted them to prepare to also to be ready for his return. To watch means to be anticipating. To watch and to be ready and to be aware of the Lord's return means anticipation, a joyous zeal for each of us. Look at the text now again in verse 42. Therefore, stay awake. Stay awake, church family. He's coming back. Stay awake. Don't be caught up into the wiles of the world. Don't be caught up into worrying about the pressures of life and the things that are really getting you down and the things that are, this is not a self-help. This is a promise in knowing that we have a hope in Christ that he is coming back. But we have to stay awake. We have to stay awake. Why? Because when he comes back, he doesn't want to be the teacher that comes into that little classroom. He wants to find his church faithful. He wants to know that his church is not about sitting around wringing our hands and worrying about a day of the Lord's return. He wants to find us actively praying, seeking him, worshiping him, ministering to others, to being about the business that he has given each of us. So we're to stay awake, to be found faithful in him. Not to be sitting around like many in the church in Thessalonica were doing. They were worried. And so what happens is that we get this false theology in the world today of the rapture. I'm not going to explain today different theologies of tribulation. The Bible speaks that there is going to be a tribulation. There will be a judgment and that Christ will return. Some theologies believe that the church will be raptured before the tribulation. Some think that it'll be in the middle. Some think that it'll be afterwards. But the most important thing is for us to understand is to be ready. Not about exactly the date and time when he's coming back. Why? Because if we could know the date and time, where would our faith be? Where would our hope be? You see, if the kids in the classroom know exactly when the teacher comes back, what's going to happen to those little kids in that class? They're going to straighten up. They're going to behave. They're going to do their homework. Folks, we're not little kids, but we are God's children. Amen? We are God's children, and he wants us to find us faithful upon his return and anticipation and joy of what Christ has done for us on the cross. He's brought for each of us reconciliation. To watch not only means to believe that our Lord returned, but to desire that he would come and to be thinking of his return often. It means to possess that gracious temper and disposition he should find in all of us. Watching is supposed to be in the night. In the first century in the Greco-Roman world, you know, nighttime was a time of watch. Why? Because nighttime was a time of darkness. And we're surrounded by darkness in this world today. And we're actually, what we're doing as the church is peeling back that darkness and bringing light into it. And one way we're doing that is by keeping watch and in joyful and anticipation of our Lord's return. As the disciples left the splendor of the temple in Jerusalem, they walked, they learned, they ministered along others for nearly 3 years. And as Christ was leaving, the disciples did not realize what was about to happen. And so each of us understand that as well. To watch not only believes that our Lord will return, but the great desire we have for him and his promise of his return. Despite hardships, we must endure faithfully to the end. Be alert and ready for the return of Christ. So as the scripture tells us, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. Hebrews 9:28. He's not coming back to deal with sin. He has already done that. The work has been done on the cross. The debt has been paid for each of us. But we need to understand that. Not to get caught up in the activities of this world, for our lives to get fractured, for our smartphones, for our internet, for our jobs, for this hurry, busy world that we live in today. But to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is to remember that no one knows Christ's return. Not even Christ. Only the Father knows. We're not about to following someone with funny calculations upon the Lord's return. Why? Because we're following Him. We're not following those false prophets. Each of us need to remember to keep watch in anticipation, and to remember to be ready to be found faithful for each of us in our lives. That is His desire for all of us. When a person anticipates the return of someone in authority, you know, they often do everything they can to make sure they're found faithful, right? Just like those kids in a classroom. We too need to live our lives in such a way that testifies to the hope that we have. Our lives are not to be demonstrated by simply cheering the day on. Our lives are to be lived in such a way that our excitement and anticipation of the Lord's return results in our daily lives. In our daily lives. Not just on Sunday, but in every day that ends in Y. Every day. Our lives to be lived in such a way that our excitement and anticipation of the Lord's return results in our daily lives. But if our daily lives are lived in such a way that it's found faithful, then our anticipation is not based on worry. It's not based on fear. It's not based on what everyone tells us we have to have, or what we need to be fearful of, or the doctor's report, or the bills, or the relationships. Our anticipation is based on the joyful return of the Lord. That's the truth that He wanted the disciples to understand. And we, as believers today, is the same message that He wants for all of us to understand. Each of us to have that hope in Christ's return. In Christ's return and in Christ alone. The rapture is something that, for many of us, it seems like a scary situation. But if we have joyful hope in the Lord's return, we also know that we have joyful hope that He is with us. The enemy is under control of the situation and the principalities of what's happening here in this fleshly earth. Christ told all of us that He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And so we need to understand that. Not just in fear of a rapture, but anticipation and faith of all of our lives today. Will you join him in prayer?